Application method is what we've checked in chapter number 9, which the method which is called as Monte Carlo method, which explains us how simulation is done. It's basically a smaller version of that project that we develop. Let's move on and see what are the next things that we will look at, the tools and techniques that we'll look at, project scheduling. Schedule tools, which is lead and lag and compression. I'll read the slide and then give you an example around it. An automated scheduling tool contains a schedule model and used to expedite the schedule process. A scheduling tool can be used in conjunction with other project management softwares as well as manual methods. Lead and lag of activities can also be used for this objective for expediting. Now, what does it mean? It means that you can use different softwares to work around your scheduling. I have been talking about project management, MS projects, because that's something that I personally use and I'm very comfortable using that. Schedule compression technique is used to shorten the direction. So word compression is about shortening the cycle, whichever is possible, and optimizing it to the best of the levels. This is achieved with techniques such as crashing and fast tracking. And I'll tell you what is crashing and fast tracking. Crashing and fast tracking is one. The crashing word comes is, can I compress an activity by asking an individual to do multitasking? Can I have a machine which does 3 or 4 jobs at the same time? Fast tracking is, can I build multiple resources around it? By the way, both of them will have a straight direct impact on your cost and time. So just remember that as well when we move on to the compression part of it. In case of crashing, the schedule duration is shortened with the less incremental cost. These includes overtime approvals, providing additional resources, additional bonus payments for early delivery. Crashing works only on activities on critical path. Whereas additional resources will reduce the activity duration, crashing may not be visibly viable alternative always, since it may be increased in your risk or your cost. So I was just telling you, I was just informing you about that as well. In case of fast tracking, the activities are performed parallelly for a particular portion of a project against a normal concept of performing in sequence. Fast tracking may result in rework and increased risk. Fast tracking is viable only if overlapping of activities and parallel performing of activities is possible. So just remember what should be crashed, what should be done fast tracking. Let's look at the step number 5. What are the outputs that I'm going to get out of project schedule development, project scope baseline, schedule baseline, project schedule data, project calendar, project management updates, and project documents updates is what I'm going to look at. Let's look at what is schedule baseline, how I'm going to get that as an output. I'll read the slide and then give you an example around it. A schedule baseline is a version of schedule model that is agreed and accepted by all the stakeholders. What does it mean? It's a basic baseline of the minimum time required physically to complete the project. That's, and everybody's agreed to that. That's a document that it signs off. During monitoring and controlling, the schedule baseline start and finish dates are compared with the actual dates to assess the variance, if any, which means whatever is my plan versus as is being compared, and that becomes my benchmarking tool as well. So the project schedule is an output of a schedule model that presents linked activities that are planned with start dates and finish dates as minimum and longest duration milestones and receive resources. It may be presented in a summary format as a master schedule or in detail forms. Although the project schedule can be presented in a tabular format, the popular way is to present in graphical formats such as bar charts, Gantt charts, milestone charts, or project schedule network diagram that we've just seen in before. So this is what we were talking about. It can be shown in a bar chart and are more often Gantt charts. Many forms of Gantt charts are available, and what are those? One is a multiple milestone chart, daily Gantt chart, so it gives me daily pointers. It gives me baseline Gantt chart, timeline charts, stoplight charts, which is my risk chart, earned value EV and EVM charts, Gantt charts with dependencies and earned value dashboard. Let's look at few of what we have. This is called a multiple milestone Gantt chart. If you look at these, blue points that you have or bars that you have is the duration of something that has going to be completed. Similarly, if you see the red, it's not been completed on time. If you look at the baseline Gantt chart talks about as is versus achieved. So comparing project progress against the baseline. So if it is scheduled in 10 days, as it's completed in 10 days. If it is scheduled in 5 days, as it's completed in 5 days. In this scenario, in all the red things, you will find that these are the charts, these are the figures which are as is, and these are the actual figures which are in pink. If you see a green portion here, it talks about that it is exceeded the time that it was given. That's how I have the charts on sample. This is the Gantt chart with dependencies. So this talks about dependencies. If you look at this, one of the activity which has to be completed in a scheduled time, and it's broken down into different kind of aspects and parameters where how much time is every activity taking, and that's how my chart is created. My earned value Gantt chart indicates the time and cost performance of my project. So I have a bar that's going here. I have a graph that's moving here versus my introduction versus my my cost versus my time, and that's how this chart. My dependency chart can also give me my cost chart. The moment I add these two values, which talks about time and cost, it will give me a straight graph. Everything this is done on a project, MS project, and hence it is very easy. As I told you, MS Projects is a great tool to use to prepare these charts. Let's look at one of the outputs called scheduled data. Scheduled data is the numbers that I will achieve, which I can then go ahead and put in my project charters or my documents updates that I would want to give as lessons learned. I'll read through the slide and then go ahead for you. So scheduled data is a collection of information for describing and controlling the schedule. The data information includes scheduled milestones, activities, activity attributes, documentation of assumptions and constraints. Additional information such as resource requirement by time period, alternative schedules of the best case, worst case scenarios or resources leveled, unleveled. Inputs for scheduling contingency reserves, cash flow projections also can be made available through the scheduled data. Project calendars, what is a project calendar? Project calendar shall provide the information about the working day shifts available for scheduled activities. There are many more calendars that are available. So calendars can be created for all five things that I keep talking about. Calendar can be created for human resource. It can be created for material. It can be created for machines. It can be created for money, which is my cash flow. So calendar can be for a lot of things in a project. Let's look at some of more outputs and outputs and project development or schedule development, project management plan updates. What does it give me? It gives me four basic things. I'm not going to dwell too much on this, of course, because we've been talking about it. It gives me activity resource requirements, activity attributes, gives me various calendars, and it gives me a risk register update. Communication of a plan communication. Now this is something, again, I have created a schedule. People need to know about it. So my plan and my schedule has to be communicated well and made understood to everybody in the project team. Why? Because people need to take it seriously. If an activity has to be completed in 10 days, it has to be completed. And hence, continuous monitoring and control over that activity has to be done by the project manager and project leads. So let's read through the slide and I'll explain you how it happens. Communication is defined as the transfer of information between stakeholders. Communication planning should address the choice of communication, which is technology, the medium. 90% or 100% of the times we do communicate with emails or maybe via video conferences or audio conferences, or be writing blogs and literature around it so that people can read. Method of communication, response to communication. What should be my tat of responding? I told you, 48 hours is my tat, personal tat of responding to emails, and frequency of communication. How often should we communicate? The choice of communication method technology will depend on the factors such as urgency of communication, availability of technology, ease of use, sensitivity and confidentiality of information, and most important, the project environment. Considering these factors, the communication technology shall be selected to suit the particular project. Communication model may be direct one-to-one communication system or communication through fixed contact points at various levels, or maybe combination of both. The communication model must be defined and known to all the stakeholders. So what are different kind of communication and interactive communication when we actually sit in a room, we discuss and, if there is a blog that people can write and stuff like that. Push communication, where you ensure that this is the information that is driven and everybody should know about it. Like a health and safety policy that has to be driven for an organization. So there's no interactivity. The organization decides it and it's just pushed. Pull activity is a survey that you do. It's a vote that you take from people. So I'll read through the slide and it's very easy to understand. Interactive communication, multi-directional exchange of information between two or more parties, example, a meeting, phone call, messaging, video conferencing. Push communication, this will ensure that the information distributed doesn't ensure that it reaches the stakeholder and is understood by them. For example, a letter, a memo, a voicemail or an email. Pull communication, stakeholders are expected to access the information or communication content at their own discretion, like PIMS data or lessons learned from the database or maybe also blogs that we can write down. The choice of communication method must be discussed and agreed upon by the stakeholders. Documented communication plan must be made available for the stakeholders very, very clearly when it comes from communication. Planning a risk response, we've spoken about this. I'm just going to speak about the highlighted points here. Avoid, transfer, mitigate, accept. Four strategies of dealing with risk. I personally love the subject of risk. Why? Because I've been into projects which were very, very uncertain, and that's formed a habit now into me that risk is something that I have to work around. And a lot of people start working on risk a little late, but I prefer working on risk the first time. So avoid it. What do I mean by avoid it? So anticipate as much as possible for your risk. Anticipate as much as possible of the risk that you feel would be there in the project. Anticipate the best possible solution for it. What do you mean by transfer? You remember I gave you a telecom example when I said transferring risk is telecom companies, not a call center. They have number of customers and they have to be addressed. So the service part with the voice and non-voice part of it was outsourced to people like IBM and people like HTMT and people like Dell or Infosys, who are the master of those call centers of voice processes and non-voice processes. So I transfer that risk. I mitigate the risk. What do I mean by mitigating the risk? I try to get some expert, some consultant to help me do that job and get me off that, or accept it. I accept it as the risk of and as the cost of my project, and I'm okay if there's a loss and that's been calculated earlier. So that's what I'm talking about, accepting the risk. I'll read through the details for you here. As discussed in the details in chapter 8, the risks are analyzed to decide response plan. Several risk response strategies are available. Specific actions are required to implement these strategies, including primary and backup strategies. A fallback plan is necessary in case the plan strategy turns out to be ineffective. So what are different ways? Avoid, transfer, mitigate, or accept are the four strategies typically used to deal with risk. Out of these, avoid, transfer, and mitigate will have negative impacts on the project objectives, whereas the fourth, which is accept, can be used to convert it into a risk into an opportunity. That is a positive risk. The strategies decide to deal with the risk and the documented and appear on the appropriate project documents such as quality management, procurement management, and a lot of other documents that we've been talking on this chapters. Planning a risk response in case of avoiding strategy of a project team acts to eliminate the risk, protect the project from from impact. This may involve actions such as extending the schedule, reducing the scope, acquiring expertise, clarifying the requirements. In case of transfer strategy, the risk is transferred to the third party, such as the supplier, insurance with the warranty, guarantee. Here is the risk transferred, not the cost of the risk. In case of mitigation of the project, team will focus on actions to reduce the probability of the occurrence. We've spoken about this, Ailey, and I'm going to read through the slide only for you. This is not possible to reduce the probability of the mitigation response. Many address the risk impact by targeting link that determines the severity. For example, protection circuit may be added to avoid failure of an original component. So that's exactly how MCPs were derived in the electricity components. In case of risk is accepted, it can be exploited to convert an opportunity. You can start a project on research and how can I work around, because that's a need that is constantly coming in. If I have accepted it, it is not possible, then it is dealt in the project team or reviewed to manage the impact with contingency reserves. We have last, which talks about planning of procurement. What does it give me? Technical requirements, customer preferred vendor list. It talks about material certification required, impact of access buyers in project cost, possible consolidation of requirements, considering other project business line and organizations. In order to cater to these requirements and an effective and efficient procurement technique, such as fixed price contracts. So what is a fixed price contract? A contract which says we only are ready to buy at X amount, period. So if we just float the contract, that's how we're going to buy. Anybody is interested, please let us know. That's one. Cost reimbursable contracts. What is that? It talks about, all right, you do such and such job and you get reimbursed with this cost. If you're not able to, sorry, you don't get that money. That's also one of a way of contracting. Time and material contract, which means I will give you time, maybe 6 months, and I'll give you this material, you have to complete it. If you don't complete, there's a penalty to it. Now that's also a way, a lot of construction companies work where they give contract to contractors, the civil contractors, and they say 9 months is what your target is. This is the material that you have. Please give me a complete building ready in 9 months. So that's also make or buy decision, resource selection criteria shall be used, incorporated in the project documents. So this is where we actually complete a chapter, my friends. I will see you in the next chapter. Hopefully by now, by and large, we've almost completed everything. Three more chapters remaining. And these three chapters will complete your project management course. Thank you very much. See you in the next chapter.